Hello, and welcome to the Hearth and Hedge podcast. My name is Amberly, and I'm so pleased to have you join me today. Today's guest is a pagan, writer, rune worker, and an herbalist. She has practiced witchcraft for more than 20 years, with focuses on runes, folk herbalism, alchemy, and transmeditation. She is the owner and operator of Handfuls of Dust Apothecary, LLC, which offers rune readings and handmade ritual products. Please welcome author of Runes for the Green Witch, Nicolette Miele.
Hi.
Did I say your name right?
Yes. No one ever does.
Well, welcome to the Hearth and Hedge. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, and happy equinox.
Yes, it is. What a happy accident, actually. Are you doing anything for the equinox?
I did a little offering earlier today. I wanted to go outside. It's pretty cold here in Pittsburgh, although the sun's out, so that's nice. But yeah, I think I'm going to stay in and stay warm.
That's fair. I forgot about it most of the day. So tonight I might go through my seeds and see what I should be planting.
Yeah, that's perfect. I should do that too.
Yeah, and you can do that inside.
Exactly, yes.
So I always ask my guests, and it's just funny because of what you are drinking, but what are you drinking?
So I'm drinking a strawberry lemon poppy soda. And
very nice.
You are drinking poppy as well.
I am drinking the root beer poppy.
The root beer.
Yes.
I have not tried that one yet.
It's not my favorite.
Okay.
It's not terrible, but I much prefer the strawberry lemon and the cherry limey.
Yeah.
Those two are my favorite. So far. Yeah, this one's a little cough syrupy. So.
I see. Okay.
That's okay. It's all right. How about, what are you reading? Are you reading anything exciting or watching anything exciting?
So right now I am reading Magical Tarot by Madame Pamita. I hope I said her name right.
Yeah.
And I really, I shouldn't sound so surprised because you know, there's so many books on tarot, that describe the cards individually, but I'm really blown away by it. And her interpretations of each card are just so refreshing and simple and very easy to digest. And I'm enjoying it. I'm making my way through it fairly quickly.
Nice. Yeah. I love her. Well, everything. I love Madame Pamita. I think she's awesome.
This is the first book I've read by her. But I think I'm going to read more just because I like this one so much.
Nice. Yeah, she has like online classes for all the moons and everything. So she's a lot of fun and a lot of information. I adjusted my glasses and now everything's all wonky. Okay. So do you have a favorite or a very influential metaphysical or occult book and or author that you would like to share?
So it's kind of funny that we're talking about tarot books because I don't read a lot of tarot books. But one of my all-time favorite books is 78 Degrees of Wisdom by Rachel Polack. I love her. She, RIP, she did pass away, I think around this time last year. That was a definite hit to the tarot community. She was a brilliant soul. I love the way she includes various occult traditions in her interpretations. And I found that even though that book is about tarot, it helped me to understand symbolism throughout not just tarot, like all throughout my practice. So, her book, she has, it just re-came out, A Walk in the Forest of Souls, which is which talks a little bit more about the roots of tarot. And that was a great read as well.
Yeah, I was actually just going to mention that that just came out.
But you did it for me. Thanks.
Yeah, that was a great read. I liked that one. And it is very sad that we lost such a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, I was very lucky to take a class with her before, a few months before she passed. And the class was on the questions that we ask in divination, and specifically on big questions like asking the cards or the runes, what is God? What is magic? What is witchcraft? Like big questions like that. I never considered doing that before.
Right.
And it's something I have implemented in my practice with some really mind-blowing results. So that was the best tool that I got to do that with her.
Yeah, I never would have thought to think or to ask those questions either. So that's interesting. How about a favorite mundane author? Do you have a four book series?
I can't think of an author or series off the top of my head. I really like supernatural fiction. So I just gobble up as much of that as I can from many different authors, whichever looks the scariest. That's definitely the genre I reach for if I'm not doing my, you know, nonfiction occult studies.
Gotcha. Are you a Stephen King fan?
I am not.
That's okay. I'm not either.
No disrespect. You know, he's great at what he does, but it just doesn't vibe with me. But, you know, I really like, you know, the age old tropes, the haunted houses, the possessions, the, you know, the scarier, the better. I love all that stuff.
I see. Yeah. I was told like 1,000 times I needed to read his Watchtower series. And I'm like, I think I'm in the second chapter and I've been trying for a long time. I just can't. It's too intense for me. Not intense like in a scary way or in a, it's just, he's very, very wordy.
Which is what gets not for everyone, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, obviously he is for a lot of people because he's like a millionaire, but just not for us, right?
Yeah. And some great movies have come out of his works. So
yes.
You can't knock that.
Some that definitely terrified me as a child. And are still pretty scary as an adult, actually, to be fair.
Yeah. The Shining still kind of gets me sometimes.
Yeah. That is a good one. It's definitely creep factor.
Mm-hmm.
So you just published a new book, speaking of books, called Runes for the Green Witch, an herbal grimoire. You want to talk a little bit about your book?
Yeah. So this book started in 2020 when the world had gone to crap and, you know, everyone stopped working and had to figure out what to do with themselves, right? We were all trapped in our houses. So I started writing a guide for myself because I have so many herbalism books, so many rune books, and I wanted to kind of condense the information that I was looking for into my own reference guide.
Nice.
And that's how this book started. So what started as a personal reference for myself, took on a life of its own and became Runes for the Green Witch. It was a project over about 2.5 years.
Nice.
So
I mean, that's a great way to start it, doing it for yourself and then realizing that it's something that's going to be useful.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a really exciting moment for me when I was like, wow, you know, there are no books out there on the intersection of rune and plant magic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at first I was like, is it a little too niche? You know, is it going to catch on? But, you know, the more I thought about it, I was like, it's something new. So I'm going to try it. And the worst that can happen is they can tell me no, right?
Right. Right.
So it worked out.
Well, I will tell you, off the top of my head, I can think of about 8 people that would love this book because of exactly what it talks about. So I think you did a great job. It's not too niche.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it seems to be getting a really good response. So I'm glad that I went against my first initial thought and, you know, decided like, let's try this. Let's see how it goes. And it's going well.
Yeah. Good. All right. We're going to have that, that massive influx of animals and children that I told you about now. So I don't know. Maybe. No. Well, we'll just continue. And if we have to stop, we have to stop. or pause, not stop. So as you were writing this book, obviously you were doing it for yourself. What was it about writing it that you liked the most?
I guess just figuring out the pairings. That's what took the longest because I did each one of them hands-on with meditation and rituals. And it was a really fun exploration into corresponding energies. So nice. Definitely figuring out which plants and runes went best together was my favorite part for sure.
That's awesome. And how about the least? What did you like the least?
I don't know. I really just loved writing this. I love writing. I always have. It's just it's a meditative thing for me. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was anything that I disliked. Maybe just at the end, rereading it 5 million times to find all the mistakes. But even that, I didn't mind that much. I don't know. It was a pretty good experience all around.
That's great. So if you love writing, do you normally write nonfiction or are you more of a fiction writer?
I started out as fiction writer. I actually, when I was about 10 years old, I guess this would have been the 90s, I was obsessed with R.L. Stine's Goosebumps. I had all of them. And I used to get bunches of paper, fold them in half, staple them, and write my own my own little Goosebumps books, kind of.
Right.
And that writing fiction and poetry has always stuck with me. So writing nonfiction is definitely new for me. Mm-hmm. But I like it and I think I'm going to keep going with it.
That's great. That's great. When I was in college, I went to be a writer and I was required to take this, nonfiction course. And I was so upset that I was going to have to take it because I was like, oh, this is going to be terrible. And it was actually my favorite of all of the courses I took.
Do you remember what it was about it that you really liked about it?
The professor was actually a former National Geographic writer and photographer.
Oh, that's so
cool.
And
so he came in with all these amazing photos. And he would say, now talk about it. Like, tell me about this in the form of like a nonfiction. It was just so amazing.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh, I think his name was John
Class,
right? Yeah, it was fantastic. It was so, so wonderful. So wonderful.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I love that.
So do you plan, you said you're going to keep with the nonfiction. Do you have anything else in the works or any ideas?
There is something in the works right now. It is still under wraps. Can't talk about it yet.
Yeah.
But got some good stuff cooking.
Nice. Yeah, I get that answer a lot. I can't talk about it, but yeah.
I'm sure you do.
I wish I could tell you all about it because I'm so excited about it, but yeah.
Well, we'll learn soon enough.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to switch it up a little bit from reading, and I want to know a little bit about your practice. Do you have a daily practice that you would like to share?
You know, it's gotten away from me a little bit, as it does. I find that for everyone, these mm-hmm. things kind of ebb and flow. I just kind of made the resolution, so by the way, I make resolutions on spring equinox, not on New Year's, because
that's fair.
I feel like from the passive shift in energy to the active is a mm-hmm. good time to, you know, to
that definitely makes
state out loud sense. What your intentions. Yeah. Yeah. So I actually just stated today, you know, I'm gonna get myself back into my daily routine. Because I did get away from it. Usually, if I don't do anything else, I at least leave an offering on my altar in the morning, whether mm-hmm. I make coffee or tea. I always pour a little bit in another cup on the altar and just say some thanks to the spirits of the land, my plant and rune allies, and all of them, you know, all those... Yeah. energies and entities we can't see, but that help us along the way. And then now if it's a good day and I'm really doing everything right, I'll get in some meditation. I will draw a rune or a tarot card. Rituals and spells are saved for the special occasions. I'm probably going to do some sort of ritual today. Not really sure what yet. But yeah.
That's pretty.
I hope you don't. My dog's barking. I hope that's not.
Again, it's completely too... okay.
Okay.
Completely. All of my listeners understand that I record at home, and so do most of my guests. And I mean, yeah. Yesterday I was having a great conversation, and my big dog came up and gave me a big woo right in my ear. So it's okay. And there's my kid.
Yeah. Okay.
Being creepy. So of all the things on your altar, what are the three things that you absolutely could not have an altar without?
I have some dried whole blue lotus flowers all over, which really mean a lot to me. They've kind of been my main plant spirit ally over the past few months. So that's a big one. I have my container of runes, my personal set. Now I have like 20 sets of runes, but like mm-hmm. the ones that I made from the branch of a tree that took me weeks to make ritually, that those runes are on my altar. And I have a really ornate vintage looking candelabra in the center that, you know, kind of just looks like a big tree hanging over everything and really sets the mood, looks super nice. Wispy. So I think as for right now, those would definitely be my big three, but there's so many, I have so much stuff on it. It's
right.
It's cluttered, but in a beautiful way.
Yeah. Mine is right there, and it's always a cluttered. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that just means like you love it, you know.
That's right.
A messy altar is a loved altar.
That's right. So you said that you created those runes yourself. Do you talk about that in the book at all?
I do. Yeah, I. Great. In the beginning of the book, I do go over the personal ritual that I went through to create my first set of runes. Because I think it's important when we, it's not so easy to make your own tarot deck, but you know, when you're making like a pendulum or runes, I think it's just so important to make it a personal sacred thing. And so I go over that in the book. It took me 25 days. I made one rune a day.
cut from the branch of a fallen willow branch, my favorite tree, weeping willow. And yeah.
Very cool.
So I talk a little bit about how I think one's first rune set or main rune set, I should say, should be one that you create yourself. And then, you know, aside from that, go crazy.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love your glasses, by the way. They're just fantastic. Oh,
thank you. They're brand new.
They're very cool. So for the listeners, they're like, are they pink or are they red?
They're like a bright primary red.
Okay, yeah, they're gorgeous. They're yeah, nice thick frames. I love glasses.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I love yours as well. You got a nice cat eye going on.
Yeah, I love these, and these are big enough. I don't see my frames too much, you know, which when I'm working is helpful.
Right.
So I normally ask if you do tarot or oracle, but obviously those aren't your main mode of divination. Do you use them at all?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes, I guess when I am looking for really detailed answers, I reach mm-hmm. for tarot or oracle just because mm-hmm. they have a lot more cards, whereas, you know, the runes are only have 24 runes. Mm-hmm. And well, I find that they can absolutely give very well-rounded answers. 78 cards can, you know, usually offer you a little bit more information. Right. So right. Yeah. If I need a little bit more, I'll go for the tarot. And when I do use tarot, I really like to stick with the OG Rider-Waite Coleman deck, because I really go by the symbolism mm-hmm. rather than, you know, trying to memorize definitions. So, and you know, that deck is just so much symbolism. Right. And I use a pendulum I'm trying to think if there's any, I mean, I've never done like I Ching, or I've never done like bone throwing, but yeah, I've done a lot of different kinds. I've really been into tea leaf reading lately.
Oh, okay.
So that's one I'm trying to kind of hone my skill at right now.
That's fun. That's fun.
Yeah.
I haven't tried that, but I should, because I drink loose leaf tea quite often.
Oh, me too. So much. What kind do you like to drink?
Oh my gosh, it just depends on the day, really.
My
favorite is from Fava Tea Company. It's called Eggnog Rooibos.
Oh, I love
it's
rooibos.
So good. It's like you know, very rooibos forward, but then it's got like the nutmeg and like all the spices mm-hmm. that go into an eggnog. It's like a hell in a cup. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, and then I make my own blends, and
nice.
Yeah, those are usually the ones that have like the actual chunky things I could read.
Yeah. When I in my real life job, as I like to call it, I work at an herb and loose tea shop, and they have over 500 loose teas, and oh my goodness. I it's so hard not to give my paychecks right back and buy all the teas and all the herbs, which I pretty much have them all by this point.
Right.
So
that's awesome. Yeah, that's a dream of mine to own one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. But I have a real life job too.
Yeah.
So it is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
So do you have a spell or ritual you would like to share with the listeners today?
Yeah. If it's okay, I'll just pull one from the back of my book, because I'm not very good at just coming up with things off the top of my head. So
no worries. That's usually what I guess, do. And that gets people excited about their book. So it's good.
Nice. Okay. Let's see. And of course, even though there's so many in here, as I flip through, I'm not finding any of them. Come on, work with me. Okay. All right. So I have one here in the Kanaz chapter. Let's see. It says, the following is an effortless and quick devotional ritual to nurture the bond between oneself and nature. It's best done outside. But of course, if inside's all you got, no worries. All you need is one small candle, green, brown, or white, a candle holder, carving tool, and a lighter or matches. So with a sharp tool, carve a bind rune of Kanaz and Birkana in the wax of the candle. As you do so, visualize the bind rune infusing and glowing with the fire power of Kanaz and the earth power of Birkana. When the bind rune is complete, place the candle in a holder, light the wick, assume a meditative position such as tree pose, sitting cross-legged, or even just standing up straight. Breathe mindfully until a state of relaxation is achieved and you feel grounded. Once you're ready, state a version of the following while keeping your relaxed gaze on the candle. And here's the incantation. With this flickering flame, I pay reverence to the earth, for it mothers all of life, the source of passion, heat, and mirth. Mighty Kanaz and Birkana, keep our kinship burning bright, and may I always be an ally guided by your endless light. Close your eyes and keep the image of the candle burning bright in your mind. Remain in quiet reflection until you feel satisfied to close the ritual.
Very nice. Very nice. I love that.
It's perfect.
Perfect. A nice short and sweet one. And, you know, I will say that I am very thankful of all of the writers who put an index in the back of their book. Yes. So thank you for that. Because Same. It makes life so much easier.
Yeah, it kind of throws me a little bit when I go, because I use indexes a lot when I'm reading nonfiction, mm-hmm. and it kind of throws me a little when I'm like, oh, there's not an index here.
Let's, yeah, how do you find a thing?
I thought it was like a book law. You have to have an index. But I guess not.
Yeah, so I appreciate that very much. All right. Yes. Well, I usually ask for a card pull as well, but do you want to do a little casting just for the general?
Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, I can do a rune pull instead of a card pull for sure.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. So I've got my trusty runes with me, the ones I cut from the willow tree. All right. And the rune that I pulled is Laguz. This is the water rune. So just like, you know, the occult definition of water, it's about intuition, dreams, and emotions. When I see Laguz come up, first thought is, what is my emotional state? Is it stable? Is there something that I need to really focus on? Intuition is a big one, especially if there's some decision-making that needs to happen. What else? I try to, if I can, remember and write down my dreams when Laguz comes up, but I don't always remember them, so that doesn't always work. Okay. So... yeah, it's got some divine feminine energy to it. Kind of a nice pull for Austera. It's got the nice psychic witchy energy to it.
Very cool.
But very soft, yeah. So yeah. That will be the rune for the day.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So I know you have an LLC.
Mm-hmm.
Handfuls of Dust Apothecary.
Yes.
And you offer the rune readings. And the ritual products, what kind of products do you offer?
Mostly herb infused ritual oils. I also have some just like skincare oils as well. Not as much, but my ritual oils are, I think, of the bulk of the shop, but I have homemade incense, handmade runes. I make runes from either clay or a mix of plants and epoxy resin. Let's see what else. Got some ritual jewelry. I do sell loose herbs and teas. It's not a huge selection, but the basics that I call them are there. So yeah, mostly herbal goods and runes. As far as readings, that's something I used to do a lot more, and I feel just as life has kind of gotten a lot busier, I've actually I've removed a lot of my readings from the shop just because, you know, if I can't devote myself fully to doing a reading, then, you know, I feel that there's no point in doing them, and someone deserves that when they purchase a reading from someone. So that's kind of on the back burner right now, but hopefully in the future I could do readings again.
Nice. And is your shop online?
It is. It's on Etsy, and it's just Handfuls of Dust, just like my Instagram handle. And yeah.
Awesome. Do you have a website at all?
I do. Handfulsofdust.com.
Okay.
And it's just a general landing page that will take you to either the Etsy shop or the book. You can find it's called the Lunar Apothecary, which is an online course, not by me. It's actually one that I took during quarantine that I really, really liked. So I have that link there as well. It's kind of a course on astrological herbalism. Really fascinating. I love it. Yeah.
Very nice. All right. Do you have any upcoming events that you're going to be going to, or maybe bookstores you're going to go sign at?
Nothing right now. I just did the Botanica Obscura conference, which is put on by Kobe Michael. He's the author of The Poison Plant Path. Is that right? Yes. The Poison Path. You're looking. Can you see it?
I think it's on my other shelf.
I think it's The Poison Path Herbal. Yes, that's what it is. I'm just mixing up words in my head. Anyway, he puts on this amazing weekend conference in every March, and it's all online, so it's accessed by people all over the world. And I think there were about 30 different presenters. I was lucky enough to be one of them for the, nice. I've never done anything like that. So I did a presentation on path working through the runes with plant allies.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you know, you're talking about your dog. I have a 1-year-old dachshund who is, he's my baby angel. And I put him in a different room, but he wasn't having that. He was like, I know you're in the house, lady. Like, don't try to play this way. And he was like screaming. This was right before I was going on for the presentation. So I was like, crap. So I brought him into my office and I gave him a bone. I was just like, you know, come on. Cause he's a dachshund. He can be a little yappy.
Yeah.
But he's a good dog. So he had his bone and he was really, really quiet for most of the presentation. And then as soon as it was time for me to answer questions, I think he heard some kids like yelling outside and he just went berserk. And it was pretty embarrassing. But he's really cute and I forgave him. And
good.
He saved it for the end. So, you know, gotta credit him there. Yeah. Sorry, I really went away from the question that you asked me.
No, that's okay. It was great. I enjoyed it.
So I just did that, and yeah, I have some like local markets coming up with the nice weather, and some podcasts. But other than that, nothing too exciting to report.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gives you more time to do other things.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I super appreciate you taking the time to be on the podcast today. I'm going to have to send my daughter to visit your the herb shop that you work at. She goes to Pittsburgh every once in a while. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Her husband. Oh my gosh. Her father. My sister. Lives pretty close in actually Ohio, but you know, just right across.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
From
yeah,
Pittsburgh,
absolutely.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. This was a lot less stressful than I thought it would be. I've never done this before. I just didn't really know what to expect, but yeah, this was great. And you're great.
I'm so glad.
Thank you for this.
Yeah. I can't vouch for the rest of the podcasters, but I try and make it as pain-free as possible.
That's very appreciated, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I also, personally, I have always had this fear. I think this is why I like writing so much. I always have this fear that I'm going to say the wrong thing. So, you know, when you're writing, you can delete and
right.
No one is any the wiser that you fixed something. But when you say something, it's just out there. And I think doing these like presentations and podcasts will hopefully help me with that fear. So, yeah, hopefully I did all right.
You did great. And also, most podcasts are not live. And so if you say something that you don't want online, just say, could you please remove that? And then during editing, they will do that.
Gotcha.
I usually edit myself anymore.
Is this one live? I didn't even ask.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
No, I would never do that to myself or to my guests. And when I do live things, I warn them and I schedule it ahead of time. And it's like a big thing.
I hear you. When I did the presentation, the Botanica Obscura, I thought it was pre-recorded. So I went in thinking like, oh, yeah, it'll be fine. But they're like, oh, no, this is live. And that really sent the fear of the goddess in my heart. I was like, crap, here we go. But it went all right.
Yeah, well, you did great today. And I never would have known if you hadn't have told me. So
cool.
You'll be good with the rest of them, I promise.
Yeah.
But thank you again so much for hanging out with me today.
Thank
it was
you.
A lot of fun. And hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks.
You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at The Hearth and Hedge, on my website, thehearthandhedge.com, or you can email me at thehearthandhedge@gmail.com. I also have a Patreon that can be found at patreon.com/thehearthandhedge. If you like what you hear, consider leaving a review wherever you find your podcasts. Thank you.